tie straight.
I got a fat neck. I can't tuck it in. All right. Christopher, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 6/20/2018. I have a home group. This is it. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. I don't have to do too much talking up here tonight, so I'll get to it. I'll introduce my guy. What I'll say is that, to qualify, I drank a lot and couldn't stop. And then once I started following this program, I had the experience of feeling isolated. I think that it's not to discount anyone else's story, but I think people come here and then they feel a sense of fellowship and companion. I was having trouble with that. I think I still had what I thought were friends. I guess they were fair weather friends. And then when I gave them all up, eventually, I've been coming around a while, but when I finally started to listen to the suggestions, follow the suggestions, I let those people, places, and things go. And I was left kind of with a bit of a void as far as like social, I guess, in some way. I think that came from the fact that once you took my security blanket away, once you took away drinking and drugs, I wasn't nearly as gregarious as I thought I was, or outgoing, or like personable. I mean, I was an asshole, but I couldn't really see that through the haze. And but you strip that away, and all I was like this like raw nerve of insecurity and discomfort. And that's no way to be, right? You need to make friends in here. You need to establish new relationships with men. And that was challenging as a grown man to make new grown men friends. My sponsor made a point of telling me that he was not my friend. He was my sponsor. I've been wearing on him for some time now. But working him down. But so I had to go out there on my own. I met this guy. And so what to do, right? So they say attach yourself and be around people that, you know, they have something you want, that you are attracted to. And at first it was just anybody who looked comfortable in their own skin, right? Anyone who looked like they could stand in a group and speak and not be shaking. I never knew what to do with my hands. And this guy who I'm going to bring up is one of those guys. And I had to make that overture, and I had to jump over my insecurity, my ego, and be like, hey, let's hang out. Which is really weird and really uncomfortable. Do you remember our first date? Was we went to the fun improv, and we saw Joey Diaz, and through that, you know, from there Foster, and that's what I had to. It was literally that awkward, is to say, hey man, like, I need friends. You're gonna be my friend now, right? And this guy was gracious enough, having the time that he had and the experience that he had, knew what that was and could relate to that experience of needing that. And so he extended his hand, and from there, you know, blossomed this beautiful friendship. Now we share wings and meatballs every Thursday, amongst the many other things. Without further ado, I give you David.
Thanks, Chris. David, alcoholic. Stop. Man, it's funny. I remember the first time me and Chris were just talking and about comedians and stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, this guy Joey Diaz is coming. He's like, I love Joey Diaz. So we went to this show, and it was cool. It was like the first bro date, you know. The next week at the home group, he comes up to me. He talks about like when that wasn't the time he asked about hanging out. It was the next week. He came up and he like slides over to me and he's like, "Hey, you know, I need some friends." And we already hung out one time. You know, I think we got a thing. Like, we should probably do that some more. And I'm like, "All right, man, cool." And it was like literally that awkward. But no, it's cool. I'm glad he did that, because you know, I'm not always like that either. I don't think about that stuff all the time. You know what I mean? So. But, you know, he's become one of my really good friends, and it's been awesome to see him grow and get all those things that AA, all right, I'm going to stop, that AA has to offer, you know what I mean? And I'm not sure how much I like him right now, you know, because I hate speaking, and he knows that too. And, you know, it's funny, I've been going through some stuff, and a couple of weeks ago, I, like, had this breakdown in a meeting, and after the meeting, he goes, hey, man, I guess now's a good time to tell you I'm going to ask you to speak for me. And I was like, God damn it. I was like, did you do that just because of what happened? He's like, no, I thought about it before. But he's like, after that, like, yeah, I'm like, that's my guy. Damn it. But anyway, So for me, a lot of that stuff, I've been thinking a lot about, like, life when I got here. You know what I mean? Because I came here, I came to AA through a methadone clinic. It was really odd, you know. I always thought my problem was drugs. So when my counselor first suggested that I come to this AA meeting, I was like, I don't need that, you know what I mean? Like, I have a drug problem, this is a methadone clinic, why would you send me to AA, blah, blah, blah. She kept pushing me to come here, and she would tell me, call this guy. And at the time, I was very busy. You know, I didn't have a job. I had this one-bedroom apartment with this dog, and I didn't have electricity. And so I would sit at home, and I was stealing electricity for like the last 4 months. I had this dog that I had to take care of. You know, so watched a lot of Dexter's Laboratory. That was like my life. That show and Seventh Heaven were the two shows I used to watch every day, right? And she'd be like, here, call this guy. And I have a car, so I had to ride my bike up to the payphone. Younger people probably don't know about that, but you had to go and put a quarter in the machine, and then you can make a phone call. And it was like a mile away, and I didn't want to ride my bike up there in the summertime. And she kept giving me this guy's number, though, and I would just toss it out. And one day she picked up the phone, and she called. She said, before you leave, hold on. And she called, and she was like, hey, Jeremy, there's a guy here who wants to go to a meeting. Hold on. And she's handing me the phone, and you know, and that was like the moment my life changed. And, you know, this guy got on the phone and he was like, hey, man, how's it going? You want to go to a meeting? He's like, that's awesome, man. I'm going to pick you up. We're going to go. It's going to be fun. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I was like, who is this weirdo? And I didn't really think this guy was going to show up and pick me up to a meeting. And had I known he was going to do it, I would not have given him my address. But I'm like, who's going to pick up some random junkie from a methadone clinic, you know what I mean, to go to an AA meeting? It doesn't even make sense to me. And I gave him my address. He said he'd be there at 5 o'clock. At 5:15, I was like, sweet, I was right. I laid down and take a nap. All of a sudden, I heard my dog barking, and I was like, damn, somebody's here. He showed up, and I got in the car with him, and there was another guy in the car. I don't even remember who that guy was. They were being all goofy and stuff, and we're driving around, and then we get to the meeting, and my counselor from the methadone clinic is there, which I thought was odd. But she told me her dad was an alcoholic, and she went to Al-Anon, so I was like, I guess she just checks out AA meetings sometimes, I don't know. And then she introduced me to some people, and she introduced me to this guy, Todd. And I'm going to take this jacket off, it's hot. But she introduced me to this guy, Todd, and she's like, you should get a sponsor. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I'm not going to come back here. And but she introduced me to the guy. And then he's like, hey, man, how's it going? He's like, you got a sponsor? And I'm like, no. And then he walked away. And he went to talk to some other people and did some stuff. And then he walked back by me. And he's like, you got a sponsor yet? And I was like, I'm in the same spot I was in 5 minutes ago when you walked by. And then he did it again, you know what I mean? He's like, you got a sponsor yet? And I'm like, do you want to do it? And he's like, I don't know, man, can you follow direction? And I was like, what the fuck does that mean, you know? And I knew the answer had to be yes in order for him to be my sponsor. And I figured at least the next time, everybody probably does this, so that way I could be like that guy, you know? People stop asking me, so I went ahead and asked. I was like, I said, yeah, I could follow direction. And then he goes, are you willing to go to any lengths to get sober? And I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I guess so, you know? And from that day forward, he either took me to a meeting every day or home from a meeting or made sure that I had a ride. Because I didn't have a car at the time, like I said, you know, and had I had a car, I probably never would have come back again. And I hated coming here, man. I hated coming here, and I would come, and they would be like, hey, help out with stuff, you know? My sponsor would come, and we would get here an hour early, and then we'd be here an hour late, and then they'd make me go hang out with them. I remember the first time we went to some ice cream shop after the meeting. And I was like, man, this is so stupid. It's like Thursday night, it's sink or swim out in Ybor City, and here these guys are making stupid jokes, wearing stupid clothes at this ice cream shop, you know what I mean? And meanwhile, I hadn't washed my clothes in like a month, you know what I mean? And like, I probably smelled bad because it was summertime, so I didn't have what I would do. I was stealing electricity, and they found out what I was doing, so they took the box. I knew how to turn it back on, so they took the thing. So I went and stole one from another apartment, and I used that one. So during the day, I would keep it in the house all day and not have electricity, and at night, I would go and turn it on when I knew they wouldn't be out checking meters. And but I was like, I remember thinking, like, this isn't so bad, you know what I mean? I was on methadone, and I was living this life, and my dog was, you know, crapping all over the carpet and stuff, and, you know, I was like, this isn't so bad. And You know, but coming around, and my sponsor got me into service early. You know, he was like, you're going to be the assistant coffee guy. So my job was to fill up, we had the 100 cupper, and my job was to fill that up and carry it over to where we made it. And I was like, oh, so you don't want to carry this thing because it's heavy, right? You make me do it every week. And then after like a month, they were like, hey, you're going to be the cleanup guy. And I was like, so that's what's going on here. Like, you want me to do the shitty jobs that you guys don't want to do. I don't even drink coffee, you know what I mean? And I'd be so resentful, like cleaning out this coffee every week and stuff. And he got me into this, at first I was on methadone, and the whole joke was like, we were doing like a countdown to my sobriety. Some dude was in from out of town, and I was stepping down from methadone at the time. And he said, how much time you got? And I was like, well, I'll be off methadone on November 9th. And he goes, okay, so you have like negative 3 months sobriety. Awesome. And that was like the running joke for the whole time. You know, we had that dude Jeremy would be like, bro, you got like 2 more months and then you're going to be sober. It's going to be so awesome. And I'm like, God, it's so lame. And, you know, but then that time came, and I remember I would be, and the way we used to do things, our pigeon family would, like, whoever has the most time just gets the front seat, right? So I'm in here in AA doing stuff, service work, all this stuff, like super involved in the meetings. And then some new guy would come in with like 1 day sober, and we would go to get in the car, and he'd be like, get in the back, bro. And I'm like, what the f-? And they're like, he's sober longer than you, man. Get in the back. And I was like, God damn it, you know? It was so frustrating, and it would drive me nuts. But you know, what started to happen from that was like, I started making friends with the people who were here early that were doing the chairs and stuff. And then like, when I had to do the cleanup, I started making friends with those guys. With those guys who were doing it after, who were here after the meeting, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden I started to become a part of something bigger than myself. And all of a sudden, like, instead of this being a place that I was being drugged to every Thursday, God damn. It was my home group, you know what I mean? And then like when people were making a mess here, it was like, oh, you're making a mess of my home group, you know, and you're interrupting my home group when you're up walking around or on your phone or talking and disturbing the meeting, you know what I mean? And I started to feel a sense of pride about being here. And I remember one day I was a few months sober, and I woke up and I was thinking like, awesome, it's Thursday, you know, home group's tonight. And then I was like, where the fuck did that come from? You know, because I hated it. I remember they would drive me home from meetings and I would just complain about everybody. And I would talk trash about my sponsor and all this stuff. And and I would always hope that they would just stop coming to pick me up. And I remember trying to make excuses. And one time I was with this dude, Jaime, and I had this whole plan worked out in my head so that they couldn't, like, anything that they said that they could do, I had, like, a rebuttal for why you couldn't pick me up the next day. And I'm like, all right, we're pulling up to my apartment, and I'm like, all right, it's game time. He's going to ask me if I want to go to a meeting, be ready. And he didn't ask me when we stopped, so I got out of the car. I'm like, sweet, maybe nobody's going to come and get me tomorrow. And as I was closing the door, he goes, hey, you want to go to a meeting tomorrow? And I go, sure, and shut the door. And I was like, God damn it, that was my moment. And I just went inside, you know what I mean? And I was like, that was this guy doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, you know? And but after a while, I started to want this, you know? I got off the methadone, and I remember I had a lot of arguments with my sponsor about, like, do I belong here? You know what I mean? Where should I be? I was like, maybe I should go to NA. And my sponsor was like, well, let's go check out some NA meetings. So we went and did that. And then he was like, I was like, no, I need church. And he's like, all right, well, let's check out church. And so we went and did that. And he like was knocking off all that stuff off the list. And I was like, yeah, this isn't it. And then one day we're having this conversation in the car, and I just kept arguing about AA. I shouldn't be here. And he slammed on the brakes, and he goes, then just fucking drink and die, dude. And I was like, whoa, chill out, man. I'm just asking questions. And he said, listen. He said, take all that stuff. He's like, you know, they're telling you at this clinic that you need like these meds because you're depressed and all that. He's like, take that depression, take your drug addiction, take all this stuff that you have and trade that in for alcoholism and do this and your life will get better. And I didn't believe that that was true, but I knew that he did. So I was like, at the very least, I can prove him wrong. So when it doesn't work, then you can stop bothering me. And I remember, so I just started doing this stuff. And then I was like, one of the big things was like service work, right? And I couldn't stand my sponsor. So I was like, I need to change sponsors. And He kept getting fired from jobs and stuff like that, and I was like telling other guys in the group, like, how's he gonna sponsor me? He can't even hold a job at a coffee shop, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell? And this dude was like, do you know how to stay sober for 3 years? Because that's how long he had at the time. Oh, I didn't even say my sobriety day. My sobriety day is November 10, 2002. This is my home group. I have a sponsor and I sponsor others. But so nervous. But anyway, so he said, do you know how to stay sober for 3 years? And I was like, no. And he goes, maybe just talk to him about that. Don't worry about all the other shit. And I was like, God damn it. All right. So I just started talking to him about sobriety, you know. And I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to outwork him in AA. So that way, when I change sponsors, people be like, well, why'd you fire Todd as a sponsor? I'd be like, he doesn't do enough AA, you know? Remember, I heard Clancy say one time in a meeting, he's like, it was Clancy or Johnny, one of the two, the only way they would ever change sponsors is if their sponsor died, drank, or did less service work than them in AA. So I was like, that, you know, that's where I'll get him. You know, and I started trying to do that, and man, it was impossible. You know, he was just, we're doing God's work today, man. We're out here doing God's work. One time we were driving in his car, and we were going over the Howard Franklin, and he was like, I looked over at his gas tent, his gas gauge, his gas light came on. I was like, we should probably stop for gas. And he's like, nah, man, I'm broke, but God's got us. I was like, God's not going to push this car over the bridge, bro. And it always worked out, man. It always worked out. That was one thing with this guy, man, is he loved AA, and he did a lot of service. And all of a sudden, like, I started to enjoy that stuff, too. He would talk about how sponsorship was a bright spot of his life. And I was like, I don't get it, man, because I'm a pain in the ass. But, you know, I got it when I started sponsoring people. You know, I was 13 days sober, and we did my first fifth step. And it was not like a, you know, burning bush type moment or anything. And we were at Men's Advance, and I walked down the hill to where everybody was. And this one dude was like, oh, you just did your fifth step? That's awesome. He's like, do you feel like you built an arc through which you can pass to freedom? And I was like, what? You know? I was like, I guess, you know? But it was like the first tangible thing I'd done in AA that made me feel a part of, you know what I mean? And then after that, just being here and doing service. And then I remember a couple of years later, Todd moved back up north, and me and Ryan, I was living with Ryan at the time, and we had what Todd liked to call blockbuster sobriety. You know, we would go to meetings and go to movies every night, or play Madden every day, you know what I mean? And that was like it. And me, him, and our other roommate, Eric, would sit around and talk about how bad AA in Tampa sucked. Our home group was like 8 people, 10 people, something like that at the time. And I remember one time we were talking to him, and he like double slammed us both. Like, we were talking to him on the phone, and he was on speaker or something, the way I remember it anyway. And he was like, put the PlayStation controller down, get off your ass and do something. If you want AA to be good where you are, make it that way. And he was like, there's this conference coming up. It's in 30 days. Bid for it. And we were like, shit, we don't know how to do that. So we went online and looked it up, and we got a couple people in the home group, and we started working. And we bid for this conference, you know, and it changed everything for us, you know, and for the group. And, you know, we went up there and we bid for this conference, and we worked hard. And all the steering committee could talk about was how awesome our bid was, and the fact that this was the first time we ever bid, and we did it in 3 weeks, and this is amazing. And then they gave it to somebody else. And we were like, what? That's bullshit. And then I remember the one thing. Wow, I don't know why this is getting me, but the one thing one of the guys said was, I think you guys would benefit from having a whole year of doing this. And it literally changed everything about our sobriety and the group and everything. And, you know, I remember I used to get like super, I still do, get super self-conscious about like crying up here. And my sponsor was like, you do that because you're grateful. But I don't know, it doesn't feel like it in the moment, so. But anyway, I remember somebody told me once that they thought I did this up here for effect. I'm like, do you know me? Like, that's what I want to do. I want to stand up here and cry in front of everybody. But anyway, so we started bidding for this conference, and it was amazing, and it was literally the best time of my life ever. And then we just got real involved in all that stuff. We won it the next year. And just like really just doing AA, and in my sobriety, like, it was awesome. Just my whole life was just built in sobriety. Just every day it was like work, and then what are we doing tonight? Where are we going? Who are we picking up? sponsoring a lot of guys and just being fully immersed. And I remember thinking, like, man, life is always going to be this way, and it's going to be awesome, you know what I mean? And then I became an adult. And I remember one time, me and Ryan, I don't know if you remember this, but we're sitting at a meeting, and this guy's up there talking, and he's like, yeah, I used to go to a lot more meetings. Now my minimum is, like, 3 meetings a week. And we both looked at each other like, fuck that guy, you know what I mean? Like, he's not staying sober. We're not going to be like that. And then, like, you know, jobs, kids, all that stuff comes along, and it's like, man, if I could consistently get to 3 meetings a week, that would be amazing, you know? And, you know, but somewhere along the way, a lot of that changed. And, you know, I talk about that stuff because you guys that are, like, newer and younger in this here, and, like, I see a lot of people doing this YPOS stuff, like, man, get involved in that stuff, because being, like, young and not having that responsibility and just having to worry about staying sober and helping other people, like, man, like, that first, like, 7-8 years in sobriety, like, nothing compares to that. And it can't be like that now all the time, you know, but I could do more, you know, and that's where I'm at today is, like, I struggle with that, you know. Somewhere along the line, like, I had a daughter, and then I got married, all of a sudden, you know, she was in AA, she stopped going to meetings, and all of a sudden me going to meetings was a problem. You're gone too much, this and that, and all this. I went from going to, like, 5 meetings a week to going to 4 meetings a week to 3 meetings a week, and all of a sudden I went, like, 2 years with the only meeting I was going to was my home group. And, what's that? No, I know. How much time do I have left? There's signs? Oh, okay. Anyway, so I'll wrap it up real quick. I wasn't going to meetings, you know, and all of a sudden I put my marriage before AA, and life fell apart, you know. Me and the ex split. They talk about AA being things you put in front of AA, you'll lose. And that was true, you know, and we split up, we got divorced, we decided to have breakup sex one time. Now I have breakup twins. That was awesome, you know. I found that out, like, a month after the divorce. And so we tried to work things out, and it was the same thing over and over, just recycling that same shit. You know, and I wasn't doing AA, and we had two people with untreated alcoholism living in the same house trying to raise 3 kids. It was a nightmare. And we split, and I came back, and I had to fall back on the people who were here before. You know, these guys like Terry and Todd and Chris and all these guys. Like, they saved my life, because I was like, done. You know what I mean? Like, I literally was driving around at 1 o'clock in the morning when I found out what my wife was doing. And I was like, why am I even here anymore? What am I doing? You know, I do all this and, you know, did all this stuff. And, like, here I am. Like, life sucks today. But, you know, I got back involved in AA like I did when I was new. And I've been having a hard time, like, these last few years, like, just, like, maintaining that. And, like, I'm in a better place today, like, getting to, you know, 4 or 5 meetings a week and stuff like that, and really trying to do the deal, you know what I mean, and trying to just be more helpful. My life was never as good as when I was, like, in AA, just trying to do God's will. Like, God gave me a gift here, literally. And but with that comes the responsibility of giving that gift away. But I get caught up in my own shit, and I forget about that, you know what I mean? And I just want to be comfortable. And I was meeting with my therapist yesterday, and one of the things she said to me was, like, I was telling her about all the stuff that I was doing to make me feel better in the moment, you know, like with sex and money and, like, all these things. And she said, it sounds like you have a lot of things that are more important to you than your happiness. And that really hit me. You know, and the happiest I ever was, like I said, was when I was here just doing this thing, you know, and, like, meeting new guys and, like, watching the light come on for somebody like Chris, you know what I mean? And seeing him be able to get those rewards that we get here, getting married and, you know, building a family and all that stuff. And it's, like, amazing to watch, you know, and I forget about that because I get too caught up in my own stuff when there's so much other great stuff out here. Like, there's something magic that happens in every AA meeting, and most of the people that come here never get to see that, you know, and I'm lucky and I've gotten to see it. And, so that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next celebrant is Josh with 14 years.